Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dr. John Kennedy, author of The 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day. On behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Dr. John Kennedy, author of The 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Dr. John Kennedy, Director of Preventive Cardiology and Wellness at Marina Del Rey Hospital, shares with us his insights on relieving personal workplace stress, thereby promoting improved heart health and overall wellness. And so now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Dr. John Kennedy, author of The 15-Minute Heart Cure, The Natural Way to Release Stress and Heal Your Heart in Just Minutes a Day, and Director of Preventive Cardiology and Wellness at Marina Del Rey Hospital in California. John is a member of the American Heart Association's Board of Directors and has appeared on the Discovery Channel, KNBC, and other national television and radio programs to promote heart health. John, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you, Nathan. It's a pleasure being here.
It's great to have you on the show. I thoroughly enjoyed your book and the compelling stories that you shared within the 15-Minute Heart Cure really got my attention because I hate to say it, but unfortunately a lot of them feel like they apply to me, so I'm going to have to change the way I'm doing some of my own personal business and how I take care of myself. But to start out with, you've recently gotten a very significant endorsement for your book, and I was wondering if you might just share that with our listeners.
Yeah, a friend and colleague, Ralph Brindis, the president-elect of the American College of Cardiology, has endorsed the book, which is exciting because I think it's important to hear the message from the messenger. Cardiologists now are really listening to this problem, which is, you know, relating stress to cardiovascular disease. And I think it's important to come from someone of his stature.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a phenomenal endorsement. So just thrilled. And John, you know, when I read the book and right up in front, you present some financial research that you've done, and it was a comparison of the medical costs incurred by those individuals who practice stress management versus the medical costs of those persons that just exercise. And then the third group was those individuals that just receive standard medical care. And I was shocked by the findings. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about the research you did itself, but then about the findings that were a result.
Absolutely. Before I describe this research, though, Nathan, I think it's important to first understand the magnitude of the problem, which is workplace stress. And there's a large body of research now showing how workplace stress can lead to decreased productivity, increased absenteeism, and worst of all, increased cardiovascular mortality. And a sick workforce, as you can imagine, greatly impacts a company's bottom line. And recognizing the importance of a healthy workforce, many companies have started workplace wellness programs which emphasize diet and exercise. And although they've shown significant cost savings, typical wellness programs often ignore and underemphasize the importance of stress management for maintaining optimal health. And this is important in terms both financial costs and reducing cardiac events. The data suggests that benefits of stress management exceed that of both exercise and diet. And the research highlighted in my book showed a financial benefit of stress management strategies within the first year of the study, and average medical costs for those using stress management were about $1,200 per individual for the first year and $4,500 for the first year for those individuals who used standard care or diet and exercise. And not only were the benefits seen quickly, the financial benefits of stress management were maintained over time. And average costs, just to put a dollar value on it, per year during the 5 years that these patients were followed were about $6,000 for those who used stress management and about $10,000 for those who received diet and exercise. And finally, medical outcomes were also better for those that practiced stress management. Individuals who in both the exercise and diet group averaged about 1.3 cardiac events, which included bypass surgery, angioplasty, heart attacks, and even death by the fifth year of follow-up. And those in the stress management group, by contrast, averaged only about 8.8 such events during that same period. So the point is that stress management is superior to diet and exercise in the workplace wellness programs in terms of decreasing healthcare costs.
Yeah, that was just, you know, kind of phenomenally revealing to me. And so It prompted me to do a little, I'll call it informal research on my own. Mm-hmm. So what I did is, knowing the results of your research, I went through all of the benefit offerings of my last several employers. And mm-hmm. then,
good for you.
Yeah, well, and they, like I think a lot of companies, very routinely send out, you know, messages on, you know, different things you can do to help improve your health. And so just in my informal research, I found that both the benefits I was offered and then the communications that I received, they all tended to focus on diet and exercise.
Right.
And you know, they had a little mention of stress in there here and there, but it just was so heavy to diet and exercise. So with the financial benefit associated with stress management, I was wondering if in your work with other organizations, what are you seeing as the prime reason why they don't tend to focus on stress management, and instead they tend to focus on these other areas of diet and exercise which don't have the same financial benefits?
Yeah, I think there are three reasons for this discrepancy. First, the early data from which most of these wellness programs base their content used only diet and exercise, and most companies use this early model as a template. And second, companies tend to lump stress management into employee assistance programs. That may be what your company does. And they assume that exercise and stress management are one and the same, instead of having a separate and designated stress reduction program. And finally, most employers prefer group sessions rather than individual methods for cost effectiveness reasons, when in fact, self-directed stress reduction techniques are superior.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah. And you know, I would never have thought about looking for stress management in my company's employee, we call it EAP program.
Right.
I just wouldn't have thought of going there to look for stress management before. I'd always thought of it as a benefits area. Yeah. Well, now, throughout the book, John, you present a number of different cardiac conditions in the workplace, and you also talk about the various symptoms that go along with each one of those cardiac conditions and how stress then exacerbates those symptoms. I couldn't help but notice that a lot of the symptoms, though, seemed to be either the same or they were very similar. I was wondering if you could share with us what some of the common signs of heart problems are that people should be on the lookout for.
Sure. First of all, when we feel stressed, anxious, or constantly under pressure at work, we're stimulating our body's stress response, which is also known as the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a release of hormones, namely adrenaline and cortisol, that can potentially damage our delicate cardiovascular system. And when we're feeling under the gun to perform at work, the stress hormones cause a number of internal physiologic changes, which cause our heart to race, our blood pressure to soar, our body to become inflamed, and our blood to become thick and sticky, all of which create this perfect storm for a cardiac event. And I tell my patients that symptoms are like the engine light that comes on in our car, reminding us that our heart, like our engine, needs urgent attention. And the most common symptoms caused by heart problems include chest pain, varying degrees of shortness of breath, rapid palpitations, and lightheadedness.
Okay. Now, John, if someone is, I guess, experiencing some of those symptoms, is there an immediate action that they should take or something they should do immediately in response to those symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the severity of the symptoms. If you're having chest pain, that's probably the most significant and compelling symptom that we worry about as cardiologists, because heart attacks typically present with chest pain or shortness of breath. Pain is, again, chest pain from heart disease it varies from individual to individual, but the classic chest discomfort, which is the Latin we describe as angina pectoris, is described as a pressure-like pain located in our left anterior chest, the front of our chest, that radiates sometimes to our left shoulder, neck, and back sometimes. It's associated typically with shortness of breath, rapid heart rates, palpitations, and sweating. It can also be associated, not uncommonly, with nausea and sometimes even vomiting. But if you're having those types of pains that are that profound, you should, if you're at work, seek help as soon as possible. If it's that severe, and some people that I take care of describe it as 10 out of 10 in severity, which would be equivalent to slamming your thumb in a car door. That's the kind of pain we're talking about.
Okay.
And in that case, you should summon someone to call 911, or you should call 911 if you're capable.
Okay. Okay. And now, kind of on the same lines, mm-hmm. but talking more now preventative, mm-hmm. and of course, the whole theme of the book, the 15-minute heart cure, you present a routine that the acronym is BREATHE.
Correct.
Would you share with our audience what this technique is and how it helps to reduce that workplace stress?
Sure. So for every action, we know there's a reaction, and mm-hmm. for every yin, a yang. And so it logically follows that if stress is bad for our heart, then the equal and opposite, relaxation, must be good. And in fact, data suggests that when we elicit the relaxation response, the opposite of the stress response, we can decrease the negative effects of stress on our heart. And after hearing thousands of stories of people stressing out at work and seeing the toll it takes on their hearts, I felt compelled to help employees reduce their stress in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I often tell my patients that reducing stress is as important as treating high blood pressure, lowering their cholesterol, treating blood sugar, and smoking cessation. And so I set out to develop a solution and developed the BREATHE technique, which is a 7-step exercise that helps lower stress and protect your heart. And BREATHE, the acronym, combines 2 proven forms of relaxation, breath work and guided imagery.
Okay.
Both of these techniques elicit the relaxation response, which is the opposite of the stress response. And each letter in the word BREATHE stands for a separate step in this simple relaxation exercise. B stands for beginning, or the first step in the exercise, which should be practiced in the same comfortable place each day. And R stands for relax. And this is accomplished by taking 7 deep breaths, like the number of letters in the word BREATHE, mm-hmm. in through your nose and out through your mouth, with an emphasis on extended exhalation, which helps stimulate and elicit the relaxation response. E stands for envision, where you concentrate on special imagery and specific healing metaphors, and I typically recommend imagining how all of the parts are working perfectly. And this part of the exercise can also be interchangeable and be used, for example, to imagine solving a problem at work. And the key, though, when you're doing this is to concentrate and envision on one thing at a time. And A in breathe is for apply. And in this step of the exercise, you apply how all the heart parts are like a perfectly running engine, for example, or a perfectly flowing river. And you apply how the solution to your problem you imagine at work has created improved camaraderie, for example, improved morale in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And by practicing these images, by practicing regularly, these images will be filed away in your memory bank and become easily retrievable and accessible in high-stress situations. The key is for treat or treatment, and you recall as you're doing the exercise that the exercise is relaxing, it's therapeutic and pleasurable, and the experience shouldn't be looked at like a chore or an additional responsibility, but instead as a treatment or a special reward that you give yourself either at the beginning of your day or at the end of your day. And many of my patients feel positive results even after practicing just once. And before long, often they look forward to using the technique. And it's similar to those who exercise regularly and enjoy the feeling of runner's high. And H is for healing. And as you practice the breathe technique and elicit this relaxation response, you'll enhance your immune response, your heart rate will slow, and your blood pressure will fall, causing improved overall cardiovascular health. And E, as you might predict, is for end. And every effective exercise has a formal beginning and ending. And as you end your exercise, you'll feel relaxed, rejuvenated, and more focused and ready to start your productive day.
Okay. Now, John, as you were going through breathe, when we were talking about the beginning, mm-hmm. you mentioned having a quiet, relaxing spot that you did the breathe technique in each day.
Right.
My question is, should breathe be ritualistic? In other words, same time, same spot every day, maybe once or twice a day? Mm-hmm. Or can you also use it at other times? Like, you know, I can think of times where either I can feel that stress level rising at work, or maybe I just came out of a stressful situation, I've returned to my office, and I can take some quiet time. Is it something I can use in those other situations as well?
Absolutely. And I've found the first sort of a two-part problem that I've found that for optimal results and to really entrain these fibers between your heart and your brain, which is what you're doing by practicing this technique, I've found that it should be practiced in the same place if possible, and at the same time, either after you wake up, just before your morning coffee and as you head out the door, or before you go to bed, but regularly and consistently. And remember that using the breathe technique is like toning your muscles in the gym. The more you practice, the more you'll entrain and develop these neural networks between your heart and brain, which will allow you to call on this skill and effectively deal with stress when faced with a difficult, unexpected challenge. So it should be practiced regularly and ritualistically, as you said, so that you develop this skill. And then what happens is when you get stressed, when you're faced with an unexpected challenge, like you've pointed out at work, you can call on these images that help you feel relaxed. And it will quickly attenuate and lower your stress levels.
Okay. So it's really very much, well, like an athlete training, or in my previous line of work where I was an operator at a nuclear plant, and you train over and over to do something when you're faced then with the situation, it's just a natural response.
Exactly. And a lot of the breathe technique is taken from data that comes from sports psychology. And, you know, athletes are some of the best examples of people that deal effectively with stress. They're able to call on the skill when performing at a very high level. You know, the golfers that have to putt, you know, for the win at the Ryder Cup, or, you know, baseball players that, you know, full count bases loaded, and their team is losing by one. These people can call on the skill, and this skill, it's important to remember that this skill comes from practice, and you can call on it when you've developed this neural network. And so it becomes easily retrievable in those stressful situations, just like athletes call on those skills, when they, you know, consistently, you know, score the game-winning point. They're calling on the skill. They're feeling focused, and they're feeling calm rather than stressed out and frenzied.
Okay. Okay, sure. Now, John, I wanted to ask another question about breathe, and that was around the envision part. Mm-hmm. And as I read the 15-minute cure with the various cardiac problems, you had different settings, I guess is what I would describe it. Is it important to understand the particular, I guess, cardiac situation that you have and to be focused on that particular setting that from the book correlated to that particular condition? Or does kind of the general breathe method work equally well for all of the different cardiac conditions?
That's a great point. And there are a number of exercises in the book. Some are designed specifically for a given heart condition and are designed to help that person with a specific heart problem specific on that respective heart part. I found that that's the most effective. For example, I have exercises for people with coronary artery disease, a different exercise for people with arrhythmias, and a different exercise for people with valvular heart disease or congestive heart failure. In addition, in the chapter Breathe for Everyone, I describe an exercise that's general, and it's applicable to and effective for everyone. There are also specific exercises designed to help people deal with the stress of heavy traffic, which is a common stressor and trigger, caring for a sick loved one, and also an exercise to help people relax before a planned surgery. But what's common to all of the breathe exercises is that they help us elicit the relaxation response, the opposite of the stress response, which ultimately helps us optimize our cardiovascular health.
Okay. Okay. And John, you know, I would say many of our listeners, but I'm actually willing to bet all of our listeners are in high stress jobs with the way, you know, we're being constantly challenged to do more and more with less and less. In addition to performing or practicing the breathe technique each day, how often should a person see their doctor to see or have their cardio condition checked? And then I guess the other question I have is, you know, many folks, I know I do, we have annual checkups. Does that suffice? Is that actually an adequate enough checkup, or should we really be probing with our physicians more about very specifically our heart health?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's important because cardiovascular disease is the number one cause of death in our country. And so it behooves all of us to know what is our risk. And, you know, how often you go to the doctor depends on the individual. A person, for example, with any of the above symptoms we mentioned, palpitations, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, or chest pain, should seek medical consultation right away. And the frequency of their appointments would depend on the diagnosis. For those, though, who are generally healthy and who have a stressful workplace, an annual physical exam should suffice. I would add, though, that during this exam, it's very important to inquire about your cholesterol levels and have your doctor go through it very specifically, what an LDL is, what an HDL is, what your triglycerides are, what your VLDL or maybe even your LP little a, what are those levels for you. You should also learn about your blood sugar levels. There's a test called a hemoglobin A1C that I would highly recommend for healthy people. You should also learn about what's an appropriate exercise regimen for you. Ask your doctor during this important annual physical exam. Also talk to your doctor about what's the appropriate diet for you, and also ask your doctor about your body mass index. All of these things are very important to inquire about during your physical exam. And for people with known cardiac risk factors, which are those with diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, a family history of premature coronary artery disease or tobacco use, seeing a doctor might be more frequent depending on the severity of their illness.
Okay. Okay. And kind of on the same lines of promoting good heart health, you know, a lot of the executives and managers that are listening to this program, I think they're probably still have resonating right now with them the research that you presented up in the first part of the show. Mm-hmm. And they probably want to know or are wondering, gee, how can I get my organization to focus more on stress management? And say in particular, they want to actually implement or roll out to their employees the breathe technique to help reduce the stress level in their organization. What kind of process would you recommend for those leaders to say, here's how you could go about implementing breathe in your organization to help your employees better cope with their workplace stress?
Mm-hmm. I think managers need first to get, you know, buy-in and consensus of the company. And I think we're learning more and more about this link between workplace stress and cardiovascular disease. So I think managers should first realize and emphasize that stress in the workplace hurts their most important asset, which is their employees. And to reiterate, stress leads to decreased productivity, increased absenteeism, poor morale, and stress-related illness, including cardiovascular disease. So it's vitally important to implement programs with easy-to-learn, self-directed, accessible, and effective stress-relieving tools like the breathe technique to help employees and companies thrive, especially in these challenging times. And I think that companies today, because as you pointed out, we're asked to do more with less, that companies really can't afford to not implement stress management programs. And I can tell you this is important for everyone. It's important for the CEO, to the managers, to the employees. We all have hearts and we all have stress. And so it behooves us to learn simple techniques like the breathe technique. And I'll tell you one other thing that I'm really fascinated with and really excited about is a workplace wellness program that I've developed. It's called Breathe for Company Wellness. And we know that there are two types, specific types of stress that are specifically related to cardiovascular disease. And there are a number of studies showing that the physical strain that people complain about at work, meaning they have to do more with less, and the stress that's caused by a sort of social isolationism. Employees feel like they're not supported, they're not acknowledged, they feel like they don't have a chance to be promoted. Those are the two types of stress in the workplace that are particularly harmful for cardiovascular health. And in my program, Breathe for Company Wellness, I solve these two problems by, number one, using the breathe technique to help employees solve problems. And if you go back to the breathe acronym, I ask employees to envision. First of all, I ask them to bring up what is the trigger in the workplace? What's the stressful problem in the workplace? Mm-hmm. And I ask them to envision how to solve that problem and to use this breathe technique to solve a problem. And so it creates a sense of problem solving. And that is encouraged by the employer. And so the employer then acknowledges the employee for coming up with some innovative idea that solves a problem at work. And so that's one way to promote support and a feeling of belongingness and acknowledgement in the workplace. And the other thing that is incredibly helpful and timely in the way that is in the way that I deliver the program, and that is by a social media platform. And this social media platform is specific to the company. And this is a, you know, password protected, HIPAA compliant program that mm-hmm. the employee can log into and share their experiences. And in this program, they learn about how stress causes or can cause what's called the metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of diagnoses which include high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, and increased body mass index. Because stress not only directly affects our heart, it indirectly affects our heart. Because when we're stressed at work, if it goes unrecognized, we tend to exercise less, we tend to eat poorly and grab for foods, comfort foods, and we tend to drink and smoke more. All of these things cause, you know, or increase our risk for cardiovascular disease. So in this program, I teach the employee about what is a high blood pressure, what is the specific diagnosis. I teach them about what is a specific diagnosis of high cholesterol, what is diabetes, and they learn about this metabolic syndrome and how it's related to stress. And we know that when people in general are educated about their health, they're much more likely to be actively involved in preventing cardiovascular disease and changing their lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like I mentioned earlier, the whole fact that there were so many compelling stories that I could relate to in the 15-minute heart cure are really compelling for me to go forward and to use the breathe technique and practice better stress management myself. So just that little bit of education goes a whole long way.
That's great.
Yeah. Now, John, besides these programs and your book, I did want to mention to our listeners that you have another publicly available resource that they can go get additional information from, and that is your website, which is www.the15minuteheartcure.com, and 15 is the numbers 15, and everything else is spelled out. And I was just wondering if you could just tell our audience just a little bit about what all the resources are that are available on your website.
Absolutely, Nathan. On the website, www.the15minuteheartcure.com, you'll find a detailed description of the breathe technique, so you can go through and see how it works. There's a description of the book and its contents and testimonials. There's also a number of helpful articles which discuss various ways to optimize heart health and also to prevent cardiovascular disease.
Oh, great. Great. And I know, and we talked about this earlier, I was very happy. I got an advanced copy of your book. When can our listeners...
You're special, Nathan.
I felt special getting this book. This is only, and our listeners don't know this, this is the only time I've ever gotten it. Or an advanced copy of a book like this. So I was really thrilled that I got to read it before everybody else. When is your book going to be available in bookstores for our folks to pick up a copy?
Yeah, it will be available January 26th in bookstores.
Excellent. January 26th. Excellent. Well, John, I want to thank you not only for taking time to be with us tonight, but for sharing your insights on stress reduction and heart health. As I've said before, I have thoroughly enjoyed the 15-minute heart cure. And not only do you present an immediately actionable method to reduce one's own stress, but I have never read a book with such compelling stories as I did when I read the compelling stories in your book. And it wasn't just one of them. It was story after story after story. And unfortunately, as we've talked about before, I felt like I could relate to just one too many of them. So I have already started myself trying to practice the breathe technique and the 15-minute heart cure. I'm not an expert yet, but I have started. You know, I hope our listeners will pick up your book when it's out in January, and that not only will they practice the 15-minute heart cure to help reduce their stress in the workplace, but also that they'll do it for themselves and for their hearts. So thank you again very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Nathan, for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Dr. John Kennedy for being with us today and sharing his insights on personal stress reduction and heart health. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. you can find more information about Dr. Kennedy and the 15-Minute Heart Cure at www.the15minuteheartcure.com. Until next time, so long.